Welcome to the Dynasty Think Tank. I am Chad Parsons. He is Jordan McNamara. We share our research, experience, and acumen to build Dynasty winners and unlock ceiling outcomes. Now is the time to seek elite results. Big news in the past week, and we're going to get to cover it here in the opening segment, which is Stephon Diggs being traded, a massive move with NFL implications, a lot of discussion there. Obviously, Dynasty going to Houston with a young depth chart there, CJ Stroud build around him during this rookie contract, and the Bills moving on from Stephon Diggs, who it was a tale of two half seasons essentially last year in terms of how great he was early, how not so much late in the season. And now, what are they going to do? Not having their full allotment of picks. So a lot of things here, Dynasty and NFL-wise, to unpack, Jordan, and really close to home for you, as Stephon Diggs was really a huge ad for them as Josh Allen was becoming a superhero years ago. And now they're moving on almost like we've seen the Chiefs of, hey, at a certain point, you got to start shedding big salaries, big personalities at wide receiver, and the quarterback is going to have to win and carry more on his own or through rookie contracts.
Yeah, I mean, this is the price you pay, right? We've talked about this for a while, right? Like, we've talked about this, like, Joe Burrow's going to face this, right? This is the Dak Prescott deal, right? Where, you know, Dak Prescott had almost as good of a landing spot situation with a great offensive line, good supporting weapons, you know, depth at all the different positions, like, really good opportunity. And he came in, was really good. Then he got paid, and some of that started to go away, right? The offensive line, you know, some of the weapons, they traded Mark Cooper, right? Like, he lost some of those things. This is what happens, right? It happened to Dak. I think he's the most visible example of that. Then it happened to Mahomes, obviously, with Tyreek Hill. You know, now it's happening to Josh Allen. I would just say, like, you know, it's going to happen to Burrow. Like, just remember, when you have a quarterback who does really well kind of early on in his career, especially getting late to the end of his rookie deal, like, that situation is going to get worse, right? Because what you're paying a quarterback to do is be able to carry you without the supporting cast, right? That is what you're paying them to do. And ultimately, like, that's what gets hurt. So this is a spot for Buffalo. Like, I don't know why Stephon Diggs at the end of last year, like, this is maybe the number one question I had this offseason was, like, why is he what happened?
Michael Scott, why are you the way that you are?
Why are you the way that you are? That was the big question that I had. And was it injury? Was it something else? Like, what was it? It seems like it was probably some combination of injury and, you know, he was just disgruntled and they were like, screw it, is kind of what it seems like was the thing. And the best evidence of that is they didn't save money by trading him. They actually took a cap hit, right, by trading him. Like, they took more dead money by trading him. So the trade did save money versus cutting him, but, like, it wasn't a cost saving move, right? So that's the thing that I think is interesting there with that deal. I think my initial reaction to this is that CJ Stroud's probably going to be overvalued. I think my secondary reaction to this is, I think that I guess if I had one theme of this trade, I think it's that Stephon Diggs is not going to have this massive impact in Houston, right? That's kind of the way that I lean. So I would be careful on elevating Stroud, and I would be careful. Like, I think it's a buying opportunity for Nico Collins personally, right? Like, that's, and I think it's a buying opportunity for Josh Allen. Like, I don't think this trade throws up in absolute chaos the way that I think a lot of people have thought it does.
Yeah, I think the quarterback angle is a key one. I mean, we saw over the past week or so since the trade that, you know, Stroud and Josh Allen being very razor thin close. I mean, you saw sometimes the plus on the Allen side, sometimes the plus on the Stroud side, but the point is not extreme either way. And Josh Allen, you know, buying a quarterback at their weakest moment or most vulnerable moment, we saw, you know, oh my goodness, Mahomes finished at QB7 or 8 or whatever it was. And it's like, do you know what he was dealing with? And it's like, that's basically the floor we've seen so far. Josh Allen has rushing, you know, he's finished as QB1, and you could manipulate some of the passing numbers, and he could still finish as QB1, and so I think the quarterback obviously has the highest stakes of all the moves in Dynasty surrounding this deal. I also find, and I go back to even these elite offenses, and I quote this a few times every year, but again, I think it's always a nice starting point and reminder for when you're going to project super outlier scenarios. This is a team that brought back Dalton Schultz, who's a legitimate NFL tight end. So to say that they're vacant there is not true. But if you even say, tier one, so top eight quarterback, top quadrant there for CJ Stroud, the average wide receiver one finish, wide receiver 12. The average wide receiver two finish, wide receiver 35. The average wide receiver three finishes wide receiver 70. So again, you can say that this is the best 1, 2, 3 in the NFL. You can put whatever monikers on you. But what I want to reiterate is there is likely with these three guys a glaring loser. And the game is saying what is most likely, to happen. And Nico Collins, to me, is the one where you say, where we're coming from in 2023 and where they are career arc wise and everything involved, he's the most insulated when you say, I don't think anyone's doing that within the offense. There's no duplication there. And he was over 3 yards per route run, which one go-to line, and I don't know if you said it or if I said it or it's just like amorphized at this point in time. You can't fake 3.0. You see some fake 2.0s at times, oh, low volume. Look what happened here, a couple big plays. It's still pretty strong indicator. You can't fake three. And Tyreek Hill is like, if you want four, that's what you need to come after me. Like I'm a man, I'm 40. I'm 4.0 yards per route run. That's what Tyreek Hill says. So Nico Collins posted that. You can't fake it. Brandon Ayuk posted that number just for a point of reference. And so I think it comes down more to Tank Dell versus Stephon Diggs, but how can you have faith in Stephon Diggs? If he's not getting the looks, like just the blow up factor, the Antonio Brown, like what's going to happen next factor is real. I think this could actually be a negative for CJ Stroud. You're talking about a young quarterback here, not Antonio Brown with Tom Brady, not Antonio Brown with Ben Roethlisberger, not Stephon Diggs with, again, Josh Allen, who frankly is a superhero. So this is not that scenario. And I just wonder if Houston is getting a little over their skis and a little aggressive with this, we're going to do everything we can. We're going to do everything. I don't know if Stephon Diggs and trading for him, which it sounds like Houston was the advocate or the first step forward to making this deal happen, exploring that scenario. I think there's a lot of other things they could have done that could have helped their team without this potential negativity. So I think Stephon Diggs at his age, when you say, and Cooper Kupp, we have questions, right? Same age, and like, yeah, last year didn't go as well as we wanted. And Diggs has a lot of risk here, but yet a lot of people think he's going to be out here taking jobs. And some people even think he could be the wide receiver one. So I just think Stephon Diggs to me is the one to be worrisome about, where you say if one of these three guys finishes outside the top 50, who's it going to be? And I think career arc wise, you could see Stephon Diggs being that guy, but I think the answer is not Nico Collins. And that's one of my bigger takes. And I also think the biggest stakes are if this makes Josh Allen 5% less expensive and it makes him more accessible, that's the long-term play as well. And like I said, CJ Stroud is like neck and neck with him in cost, depending on your league. And that's also, I'm already thinking of a league that I have CJ Stroud and I've been trying to get Josh Allen or Mahomes. And this is yet another opportunity with Stroud to go down that rabbit hole and try to get a deal like that done.
Yeah, you know, the over at Sumer Sports, they have something called adjusted yards per route run. And that is a they just run it based on formation, right? Because some formations favor receivers versus tight end and that sort of thing. And I'm of the theory that that's where you would actually fake it, right? Like there's some things where you can fake a 2.0 because your team's playing a lot of tight ends and you're just sort of you're getting you're just you're in your numbers are inflated that way. Nico Collins ranks second behind only Tyreek Hill in adjusted yards per route run last year. And by the way, it didn't help him. It actually hurt him by a hundredth of a yard per route run, right? The positional stuff. So I do think like, and by the way, the other top guys, like it hurt Brandon Ayuk pretty significantly. Like there's other guys up there that it didn't help and it actually hurt. Like Nico Collins performed exactly At his expectation, which is like an elite performance. So, or right at his adjustment, excuse me. So it's an elite performance. I'll say this too. Like, I echo everything you said about Josh Allen. On the Diggs aspect of this, right? Tank Dell specifically, right? What's the fascinating part about this deal? They trade for him and then they basically void out the rest of his deal and say, this is a 1 year deal, right? If you are worried about your offense, right? You do that type of deal, right? If you say, hey, we're going to try and play this right now. Our guys that, you know, we're in a contending window. We got a guy on a rookie deal. Like we got, you know, we think he's a guy. We think we can win the Super Bowl. You do this, right? And what does that also correspond with? It corresponds with Tank Dell coming back from a knee injury, right? So like I think it's not that they don't believe in Nico Collins. I think it's that they're trying to buttress up wide receiver too. Right, like I've thought for a while, and
Robert
that
Woods didn't work out as well. You know,
right,
Noah Brown was
he's
you know,
fine,
a nice story for
yeah,
like a month or whatever.
right. And I've thought this for a while. We inconsistently as a dynasty community have injuries impact guys, right? So we'll say like, oh, guys coming off a knee injury, and some people we don't care about it. Other people we really ding them on. It feels to me. Again, I hope that Tank Dell goes back. I thought Houston was like the most exciting team to watch for like a 6 week stretch last year. It was great. But I think that they are I just think that the Tank Dell aspect of this, like people are just assuming that he's going to come back and be a wide receiver one. Like, let's see him practice first. Like, let's see him, you know, and I just that's to me, I said, you know, if I'm worried about something, that would be the non-Nico Collins receiver coming off of an injury would be the thing that would concern me. And again, then, hey, listen, if all three of them are healthy and all three of them are great, like you've got a chance to be a top three offense. Great. But I think that this picks up their floor. And I think that more goes to the Tank Dell thing. The other thing, like we'll talk about Buffalo, some other things probably with Buffalo as well. Dalton Kincaid, right? Let's see how good you are, because there is a you know, he should never, like he was playing, there was some games last year. I think he only had five games over 80% route participation. That should never be a problem ever again, right? Because this is, and you've said the name, right? This is the opportunity for him to jump into a Kelce role, right? And
The equation is aligning. Yes.
right. And if you, and like, by the way, like there was some stuff last year, and I just searched my own name and Kincaid, and there were some videos that we put up, and we were just calling it like Kincaid porn or tight end porn. Like it was indecent, right? It was indecent stuff, and I
Not
just
safe for work.
not safe for work. Yeah, I look at him and I think he's capable of it, right? Like, you usually don't say that I think a tight end could be the best receiver on a really good offense. We usually kind of measure that by the second one, right? That's kind of the Laporta test. Kincaid passed that for me last year as well. Like, I think it's really an opportunity for him to, like, you could see, you know, there's no reason that he couldn't get 140 targets. Like, I think he's capable of that. And with the quarterback, like that's a really high level opportunity. So there's nothing stopping him from that, because there shouldn't be any reason that he comes off the field, honestly, right? Because he can play as a receiver, right? He can play, you know, they can, I know they didn't do a ton of that and they tried to do some of that, whatever, but like, I think he plays outside, he plays in the slot, like he should be on the field on every passing play, right? When that wasn't the case last year. So I think he's in line for as much opportunity as he could possibly undertake.
Now, you remember that stretch when TJ Hawkinson was just like manhandling volume, and you were like it's not super efficient, but like you can't like a tight
You
end,
can't
it's
look
so
away.
hard to see volume that high that it's just like what's going to happen here, you know? And he was tight end one. He was tight end one overall, you know, for that stretch or up until that point in the season. And the last thing I would say just on Kincaid, because we could have a whole feature show on Kincaid, but that I've never been more excited for the tight end position that I can recall. It's playing more tight end premium formats, and that ilk kind of cresting as we hit 2024 here. But it's also that I think with previous seasons, and we're coming off a season where it was very flat, that this is a highly competitive top five, top 10, top 12. I mean, the fact that Evan Ingram and his Uber volume from last year, basically no one's talking about him, and how low he is regarded in Dynasty kind of speaks to what's going on at the position. I mean, the fact that you can have overt positive vibes about Dalton Kincaid. Kyle Pitts got his quarterback. He should be healthy. Two huge names there. Where were we 12 months ago on Trey McBride? We still have Mark Andrews coming off of injury. Sam Laporta off a rookie season. Hockenson, we'll see when his ETA back is. But he was a guy up there. And then Kelce is the GOAT, but how much does he recede toward the pack is the question. And don't be surprised if he's still at the top of the pack, I think would be something. I mean, that is a roster, that is a drove of players that not even mentioning Kittle and Njoku and Brock Bowers coming in and so many people being high on him. I mean, this is a banner section of time, specifically this year of, I mean, the amount that you could see tight ends warrantedly starting and being impactful in flex spots in premium formats is pretty exciting. So I just think that Kincaid being a part of that discussion and us having legitimately a bunch of guys that you shouldn't be surprised if they finish top two, three, four at the position, highly competitive, where it's been very top heavy. And one thing that you've said in the last few years is it's been very predictive. There's been a select number of guys that have top three pedigree of finishes, number one overall finishes. And let's hope this is a part of bringing the position back to some degree, and Kincaid, Pitts, and some of those guys can be a part of that.
Yeah, I
All
love the
right.
tight end position, and
Yeah.
it's become much more fun in like these types of stories. And I don't know, there was a couple years back where, and I actually think it hurts Brock Bowers, right? Because when Kyle Pitts came in, you could say, hey, he's a top three tight end just walking in with a good profile because the position wasn't very good, right? I mean,
It was
now,
older, and very few guys had more upside than him, per se.
absolutely. Now you look at it and you've got a variety of different profiles and age combinations. You could go
Bowers
any
over
different way.
Kincaid, Bowers over Pitts, and that's just two guys that were randomly selecting. You're not even picking out, Laporta and Andrews and others. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, he's coming in at the
Absolutely.
wrong time.
Yeah, yes.
So did I get enough? Of course. How about we put in a Josh Allen deal here, Jordan? So this is CJ Stroud. I actually picked one of the highest ones in terms of a secondary player included with CJ Stroud to quote unquote get up to Josh Allen. So this is a dual question. Did you get enough for CJ Stroud? And did you get enough for the other quarterback? It's the dual one. So CJ Stroud, hot to trot. He's a quarterback one or two on some services out there in terms of what the market is like. Stroud plus DeAndre Swift or Josh Allen.
Give me Allen. Swift is just like Swift's fine. And we've talked about him. Like, if there's a guy that's in that Josh Jacobs, Leonard Fournette puts it all together, as a receiver and a runner in a season, like he's probably on the list of guys that could do that. But he just doesn't move the needle enough for me to go from Stroud to Allen. Listen, consistent elite performance at the quarterback position is very uncommon. And you can love Stroud. A, he's probably not going to be a huge runner in his career. And, how much can you possibly pass? Like, this was a team that had a negative passing expectation last year in terms of passing grade over expectation. Like, how much does that change? I think the impact of this is probably overstated. And if this is the cost to go to Allen, like, you got to do it.
The only trade avenues, if you have CJ Stroud, should they only be towards Allen and Mahomes? Is that literally job one, job two, job three, and job four with Stroud and exploring a sell?
Yeah, I think you do that, right? Someone actually said to me today, like, who would you take straight up, or would you? I got offered Mahomes for my Stroud, and I was like, I wouldn't flinch. Like, there would be, I would hit accept, and I wouldn't.
Don't get cute and try to ask for a pick.
No, and their response was, well, they finished same per game scoring, and it was Stroud's rookie season, and I said, that's Mahomes' worst season.
I was gonna say
Right.
that's really nice. Tap him
Yeah.
on the head and be like, good job, buddy.
Right. And so I mean, listen, I'll take the what I think is probably going to go down as the greatest quarterback that's ever played. I'll and if you know what, if I'll
Let
die
me
on that hill.
buy in mid-career on that.
Yes. And Chad, the more we've played, like this happens every couple of years where there's a quarterback that comes in. And again, I thought Stroud was extremely exciting last year. I thought Houston, like there was the game I was flying back from. I forget, I was on a plane. I forget where I was flying back from, but like they were awesome, right? It was an awesome game. And I caught like the end of it and he had gone crazy. And it was a great game, right? I think that was a game where Dare Ogunbowale kicked, right? Like it was super, I think we led the show with that game, right? Like it was awesome. The like I think they're extremely exciting, right? You have to be really careful about buying at the high of extremely exciting, right? You have to be really, really careful of that. And we've done this before. Like we've gone to quarterback two overall in
Well,
drafts
to say that
for
there's not
Baker
going to be
Mayfield. Like we've
a
done this.
receding, like again, let me give you an example. How exciting was Justin Herbert when he first came in? And now
Really
we're talking
exciting.
about buying opportunities. So to say that this is the moment, QB 1, 2, 3 prices on CJ Stroud is when you need to buy. Will there not be a moment? What again, I thought the thing I was pointing out last year was the interception, the big time throw and the turnover worthy play ratio was all out of whack. He went so long with like zero interceptions or one interception. It's like that is not what's happening on the field. He should have 3, 4, 5 inter and there was some point where it was like, how would you view this if he had 10 touchdowns and 6 picks? And he was like 10 over 1. And it's like that's what it should have been. And so he could be just as good, improve, whatever, but he could have 15 interceptions and the team is really not much better, and that will be an opportunity to buy. Not right now. Like every quarterback, almost every single one. And the fact that it's happening right now with Josh Allen and the fact that it's already happened with Patrick Mahomes, and they are literally the best quarterbacks we have, means it's possible for and plausible and probable for every single one of them. So just be patient. To say that you can't live on your dynasty roster without CJ Stroud right now, that's really the wrong take. We've been down this road of promising year one, year two quarterbacks. Just take the mid-career guy right now that has a super stud profile that is out on the discount rack. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Don't assume it's a rocket ship upward with a career arc. Next one here, little lower stakes. We got Jordan Love and Alvin Kamara. Or Kieran Williams and Chris Olave.
Well, this just reeks of trading for elite, premium positions, right? So what's the in a super flex format, what's the premium position? It's quarterback. And you look around, it's two running backs in the deal and it's a quarterback for a wide receiver, right? Like that's, it doesn't, it's more complicated than that, but sometimes we make it more complicated than it needs to be. Give me Jordan Love, right? And again, I think you're probably higher on him than I am. But I just did a deal today where it was like extremely reasonable. And I actually texted you and I was like, almost the, am I missing something here? Like, is there something that I'm thinking wrong? Like, I just give me the quarterback. Like, again, if you're, it's rare to have a quarter, like to be able to fix the position with a top 10 solution at the position without giving one.
Well,
Very
without
rare.
well, how about this? Without giving the quarterback and without giving a first. So
Yeah.
you avoid both of those things in this trade. As much as you can like Chris Olave and Kieran Williams is coming off a great season. I will say this is the exact wrong 3 weeks to buy Kieran Williams. Just wait till after the draft. You can still like him. I don't think his price is going up if they don't draft a notable running back, but you at least get confirmation they didn't. Which may change your viewpoint on it. Doesn't have to, but yeah, I think this is an outstanding deal where, hey, the Saints might be drafting a skill position guy as well. So, yeah, I think we've never classified it that way, but getting a quarterback fix without giving a quarterback notably or a first round pick, that's a pretty unicorn type deal.
Yeah, it's
How
almost
about
like
this?
I in the AOD team building guide a couple of, it was it last year that I wrote it. I wrote just trade rules. Like if this happens, like you should be on this side of this deal. And that's one where it's like, hey, I can get a top 10 quarterback and I don't have to give a quarterback or a pick. Like the answer is probably the quarterback, right? Like outside of some extreme thing, like the answer is probably the quarterback.
Next one is a two-way go here at wide receiver. We got Chris Olave again being traded for Deontay Johnson and a 25 first.
So we treat the our general rule is you treat the pick as a random pick. You'll probably know the 2025 class more than I will, because I'll wait on it, but I'll just assume it's random. And we just assume that a 2025 random future first is about the way that that pick usually comes out is about 50 overall. Okay, it's about where the number usually falls. So you can think about a fifth round startup pick is usually the answer to that. It's an interesting two-way go. I had someone talking about Olave the other day to me and about how he was like really exciting and all that stuff. And it just came back to me that I have to, that means that I have to bet on Derek Carr. And I don't know how much I love doing that. Right. Like it seems like probably for the rest of his career, we're going to get burnt on doing that because that's kind of what he does. So it gives me a little bit of pause. The other thing is like, okay, do you trade a future first for a wide receiver? Right, that's a caution thing. So this is only a deal you do for if you're like super rich. And again, if I have Deontay Johnson in a 2025 first, like I think I'm gonna shoot a little bit differently than an upgrade at receiver is kind of the way that I would do that. So I would say give me Deontay Johnson in the pick. And I would bet that if I hold this on Twitter, I'd be on the losing side.
One thing, and it's different players, but I hearken back to remember how much everyone liked AJ Brown in Tennessee. And again, better version, I think, than I haven't looked at head to head of this, but better version of what we're seeing with Chris Olave, but both highly efficient players that we say something's just not, there's nothing, it needs to be unlocked. Quarterback wise, volume wise, offensive, acumen wise for the team. And I think we could easily get another 1 to 2 seasons, and we're still kind of waiting for Chris Olave to be released, or unlocked, if you will. And that's the real bet here. I mean, because I think Deontay Johnson, you would put decent odds that he could outscore Chris Olave this year. And that first is huge. That can be a complete fix at wide receiver that can help you get a stud quarterback. It can do many things. So as much as I like Olave, I think you take Deontay Johnson and run. Because, I mean, you have legit outs to win the deal now and later, and you can still pick up, if Olave disappoints this year, I just think you're going to keep getting him the what if question of why he has not progressed to the point that people expected by this point and some of the efficiency numbers that he has. One more here. We got 105 and Tank Dell for Bijan Robinson.
I've noticed a trend in some trades that those picks between let's call it 104 and 106 have drawn Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs, and I'm really all about that, right? Like give me all of that. Like that's a business that I want to be in if I have those picks, like because just compare it like from a scarcity perspective, like those guys are super scarce and you're drafting three more top 10 wide receivers, like that's the business that the NFL is probably going to be in this year, where you don't get a ton of that pedigree and early production at running back and those what 4 or 5 year prime windows for first round running backs. Like I love that. Like give me the Bijan. I love this deal. Love this deal. And honestly, like if you're sitting there and you earned 105, and you could say, all right, like I could sit here and maybe I can bang on, wide receiver two, or I could take quarterback, three or four or something like that. Like, okay, like how does that kind of turn my team around? Like Bijan Robinson could be a two warp guy like this year. Like you don't have to develop Malik Neighbors. You don't have to
At
develop
22
Roma
years
Dunze,
old, like we're
right?
not even talking like a 25-year-old running back.
Yes. And for all the reasons, like again, we like Tank Dell. I like Tank Dell. He's an interesting player, but he's not the reason that stops you from getting a top five skill position player. Right? Like he's just not the reason that you do that.
And let's not forget, Bijan Robinson has the profile to be worthy. Again, you can stack it up in individual classes on how you see fit, but he has a profile worthy of being the 101. So, You could say that this is a better year, that there's four 101s this year, or whatever you want to say. The point is, he's worthy of being 101. And I mean, you're just getting the whole thing. I mean, you're getting a profile that, outside of injury and especially what he showed year one, new quarterback, like, what is going wrong in Bijan Robinson's world right now? Not much. So, like you just said, he could lap the position. He could be a, the, there's potential for him to be a baby McCaffrey, but at 22 years old, and obviously on a different arc for dynasty asset wise. And you got to take a stud when you can get a stud. I mean, like you said, I think the other thing is arbitrage wide receiver. Like, more and more we're talking about how deep the position is. And you, I've had, we've had so many trades on here that we've said to move off of Justin Jefferson. We've had plenty of deals that we've discussed saying Justin Jefferson could be a tool to move elsewhere because he's closer to, I mean, you could argue he's closer to wide receiver 5 to 10 than Bijan Robinson is closer to running back 5 to 10. I mean, that's a laughable discussion. So to say you can arbitrage at wide receiver and play, I mean, Deontay Johnson might get really help you this year, and he's going for a song. Where was he last year? Like, profile hunting and looking at the new reality, I think, is really important at wide receiver of I want good, but you don't necessarily have to have the best three guys on the planet. All right, that's gonna do it for some trades this week. Do have a from Dynasty and Life lesson learned. And I had a real, I haven't had many down days, but I had this really weird down day last weekend. And my lesson is going to be don't let one day or one person stand in your way. And I would say we've all had in Dynasty that whether it's a bad interaction, you make a bad trade, you have, maybe two or three owners in your league aren't very nice, or a league chat. Like, I once had a league chat that was, like, for some reason turning straight against me, and they're saying some, pretty hurtful, biting things, and it became a league that wasn't fun for me. And I asked the commissioner, I was like, I don't think this is above board, kind of what's happening here. It makes me not want to come to the chat. It makes me not want to be involved. And ultimately it didn't get better and I left the league. And I haven't thought twice about that league, but it was part of my portfolio, and I didn't let that one league, take down my opinion of Dynasty. But over the weekend, I was playing a tennis tournament, and it was a particular person that I played. And again, a lot of other things were happening that day that just I didn't feel like myself. I wasn't thinking like myself. And I was like, for the commitments I made to do this, today or this weekend, I shouldn't be having more fun. I should be having more fun, and I wasn't. And it made me not want to come back the next day. And but I did come home and I kind of reset, and I was like, oh, well, tomorrow's a new day. And it's new opportunities. And I'm not going to decide right now if I'm going to go back and play my other matches or whatever. And but I woke up the next day and a lot of things were different, in terms of my attitude. And, I had a different breakfast, as just one stupid little example. But like, I felt like I prepared better. Obviously played someone different, had a completely new environment, honestly made a new friend, someone that I could see, if I visit the area again, I could see getting together with him, on a one-on-one basis and having a good practice session. So I just think, we've all had down days, and I think it applies to Dynasty as well, where you just, maybe you're just not thinking straight, or negotiations on a certain deal aren't going the right way, or you get sniped two or three times in your startup draft or rookie draft. It happens, and I think we really have to let that small sample size not tarnish the overall experience, and keep asking yourself, like, is this league fun for me? Is this an enjoyable format, and or the owners in it, or something about it? Because there's nothing wrong with continually optimizing your experience of what do I want to play in certain price points or formats or with certain people. So just don't let that one person, one experience, one day kind of hold you back. Or it's okay to have second thoughts. I think we all have second thoughts about a myriad of things in our lives. But I think having a pause and say, hey, I'm going to sleep on it, that whole idea of sleeping on it before making a big decision, or pausing for a few days. Or I think we've said about things, whether it's content wise or league wise or something like that, basically say, hey, let's observe and report, for the rest of the season or something, and kind of check back in. How are things going? Take a breath. So I think all those things are perfectly healthy and normal, whether it's about dynasty or other things in your life.
Love it. Love it. I don't envision you having bad days. Like when I get on here and record, like you're usually
Oh,
pretty
really?
positive. So like Me seeing Chad, like
You think
anytime
of the
I'm
scope of you
frustrated.
think of the scope of bad days, my days aren't that bad.
Yeah, well, no, I no, whenever we get together and I'm like, you know, if I'm bemoaning something or whatever, usually like extremely positive. So
Wow.
I struggle to see you having bad
All
days,
right.
but I'm glad that you got through that one. You know, it makes me,
Yeah.
it
yeah,
gives
I
me
will
some
point it
hope.
out that it was recreationally on a Saturday, yeah, out in the sunshine playing tennis. So it's like
Yeah.
Jordan's probably smirking the whole time, be like, yeah, that was his bad day. All right. Just hanging out for hours, doing one of his key hobbies. I will say, so we reversed our recording session this week. So we've already banked our deeper dive show, which we go into running back landscape. We go into drafting some of the most optimistic situations. And it's a really good exercise we kind of talked about on the show that this can set the table for what you're going to think about some of these landing spots when you get to mid rounds, later round running backs that are landing in the NFL draft coming up. So we had a long form discussion about some of these team dynamics, some sneaky situations, some more obvious ones for these running backs where this class, more than others, we're not going to have elite pedigree. We're not going to have first round running backs like we had a year ago that are going to make things very easy on us. It's going to be a lot dicier decisions of maybe some suboptimals on day two, maybe some optimals on day three, and blending all that together with some of those situations. So it's a really important exercise we did, but also that you can listen along, and we talk about far more than we actually drafted in terms of situations to monitor for 2024 and 2025 viability there. And also we took some notes for after hours. So what are some things on potentially on after hours this week?
We're going to be talking Bills. We're going to be talking a trade that I made. Maybe talking some draft props as well. There's a specific running back stat that I am excited to share with Chad.
Excellent. All right, there you go. So premium side of Dynasty Think Tank this week at patreon.com/dynastythinktank. And also, just know that we've got some special promotions coming up. We're spitballing things for early in May. We're trying to help you out with your draft and all the things that go into the post NFL draft new world of dynasty player value. So this is a great time to sign up, kick the tires on all this premium content that we talk about every single week. You like this show? Rating us, reviewing us, all that is good stuff, good vibes. But again, signing up and being one of the newest and fledgling patrons over there and getting all the premium content that we go into deeper dive discussions on a weekly basis is where you want to be to support the show. So thank you so much. And also, thanks for listening this week and in general to the weekly free show for Dynasty Think Tank. You can follow us on Twitter at Chad Parsons NFL and at McNamara Dynasty. We have our own Dynasty content channels at uthdynasty.com and at analyticsofdynasty.com. As always, unlock your ceiling and seek elite results.